It woke up old Okeechobee, and the monster began to roll in his bed. Zora Neale Hurston. Their eyes were watching God. The bracelet caught Festus Stallings' eye. It was on another of the corpses, all of them bloated and discolored from days in standing water and merciless sun that stole their identities and reduced them to lost debris. Stallings reached and closed his hand around the bauble. It was on the arm of a little girl. A month earlier, she had proudly shown him the bracelet, a gift for her second birthday. He grabbed her by that arm, lifted her up, and added her to the pile of death. The fire whooshed. The workers stepped back, staggered by the burst of heat and the smell of crude oil and burning flesh. A thick, oily cloud of smoke rose. It rose above the muck, above the bent sugarcane and tattered vegetable stalks, above the scattered sticks that had once been homes, above the Great Lake, into the Florida sky. It was a black cloud. September, 1928. It is a great lake, so big that standing at its shore is like standing at an ocean. For centuries, no white man saw it, and today it is hidden not by mystery, but by a towering dike. Native Americans named it Big Water. Even today, locals refer to it simply as the lake. Along its southeastern shore lie a number of farm towns. One is Belle Glade. Along its main street, in front of its library, a sculpture stands, motionless and silent. A man, a woman, and a boy are running. The woman carries an infant in her arms. As they look over their shoulders, they raise their arms in a feeble attempt to ward off an unseen wall of water. Below the statue, a concrete relief shows houses, people, vegetation, and animals swirling helplessly in water. You can't hear the deafening rush of wind, the pounding rain, the screams. About 35 miles to the east in West Palm Beach is Tamarind Avenue, one of the city's roughest streets. It's a place that often appears in the same sentence with TV news talk such as drug deal gone bad and drive-by shooting. At the corner of Tamarind and 25th Street is a field surrounded by a chain-link fence. For three-fourths of a century, no marker noted the fact that nearly 700 people lay entombed under the street. Second-class citizens in life, they became truly invisible in death. They are the faceless dead of the great storm of 1928. Nearly nine decades later, the storm is by far the most underreported disaster in U.S. history. It is still the deadliest weather event to strike Florida and the eastern United States. Nothing, not even Katrina in 2005, comes close. Hurricane Andrew, the storm that defined Florida hurricanes for most people living today, flattened much of one of America's largest metropolitan areas, but it killed only 15 people. Katrina's official death toll in the United States is placed at 1,833. That's close to the 1928 storm's official death toll of 1,836. But that number, assigned by the American Red Cross and state health officials in the weeks following the disaster, is almost certainly low. Too many people were hurriedly put into mass graves, stacked in piles and burned, or found as piles of bones years later in the fields. Historians suggest that 2,500 to 3,000 is a more realistic number. The volume of death was so staggering to the Pioneer region that after a while, people just stopped counting. In the summer of 2003, the National Hurricane Center changed that official count to 2,500, not as a result of any new evidence, but reflecting a need to have a more accurate number in time for the storm's 75th anniversary. The storm would then be officially classified as the second deadliest disaster in American history, behind only the Galveston hurricane of 1900, which killed between 6,000 and 12,000 people, and passing the Johnstown, Pennsylvania flood of 1889, which killed 2,209. Besides the Florida deaths, the 1928 storm also killed at least 312, perhaps up to 1,600, in Puerto Rico, an American possession.